All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm an empty vessel, and I just pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may deliver this message now. This is an important message, and Lord, I just pray that we can be focused, that we will not be distracted. Give me the ability to present this message as you lead me, Lord. I pray that we could be good ground, that we may bear fruit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We've been studying through the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is the book of Christian joy. Chapter 1 is about joy in prayer and joy in suffering. Chapter 2 is about the joy of humility, and there's joy in obedience, and there's joy in good company. Chapter 3 is all about the joy in looking forward. Chapter 4 is about joy in focusing and joy in giving. The message today is joy in focusing. And next week, if the Lord's willing, we'll be preaching on the joy in giving. But today we are in chapter 4, verse 1, joy in focusing. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The first point that I want to make is there's joy in focusing on the labor. Notice he's trying to address a conflict between two ladies named Euodias and Syntyche. They're having a conflict, and it's hindering their labor. And there is also an unnamed yoke fellow who is not helping the people in his church. So he's addressing them to focus on the labor. Too many people today focus on the people that they have to labor with rather than the laborers. Lots of times people fight and fuss and they can't get anything done because there's too much conflict between the laborers. But if the laborers would quit focusing on who they like and who they don't like and focus on what God says for them to do, focus on the job, focus on the labor, they can have a fruitful labor. If they would just focus on the labor, they would have much joy. Turn back just a couple pages to Philippians chapter 1. Notice how the preachers were behaving. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So they were turning it into a contest. People were preaching Christ out of envy and preaching him out of strife. They were saying, I bet that I can win more souls to the Lord than you. I bet I can win more souls to the Lord than Paul. But it didn't stop. The attitude of those people didn't stop the preachers who were preaching sincerely out of goodwill. They were going to stay focused. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Notice that Paul even focuses on the labor. You know, he said, I'm not going to let that mad. If you want to win more souls to the Lord than me, do it. I hope you do. Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Paul was focusing on their labor. The other preachers were focusing on the labor despite of who they have to work with sometimes. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Watch this. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in my life or by death, by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ,
and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet that I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So living was a labor in the Lord. He says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to live for Christ. And he still has labor to do for the church. So Paul was going to be happy with him surviving. He was going to be happy that he's going to be let out of prison here pretty soon. Labor is also the fruit of love. Turn to Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Notice that he calls it a labor of love. So labor is a fruit of love. You know, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So he commands us to be laborers, and if we love him, we will do what he says. So labor is a fruit of love. And whenever it is a fruit of love, we may get weary in the labor, but we may not be weary of the labor. It never gets old whenever it becomes a labor of love. There is joy in focusing on the labor that God has for us, that he has plans. Thank God that he can use us for his labor. Amen? There's joy in focusing on virtue. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Notice that that's not a suggestion. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation means virtue. Let your virtue be made known unto all men. There are a lot of Christians today that are not very virtuous. But Paul, Silas, and Timothy made their moderation known in Thessalonica. They were a great example to the church in Thessalonica. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read about how they let their virtue, and they focused on their virtue, and the Lord used them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's writing to the Thessalonians. For you yourself, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. So that virtue shone in their life, and it spread into that church. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our... My text is so small, my words were blurring together. But even after that, we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness or in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. So virtue, if we focus on virtue, it will give us boldness like it gave Paul, Timothy, and Silas. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the prophets of Christ. Virtue has humility, but we're gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being effectually desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Virtue is gentle. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Virtue labors. We are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Virtue is blameless. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Virtue preaches. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the truth of men, or the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Virtue is fruitful. And if you want to be a fruitful Christian, you have to be a virtuous Christian. Focus on virtue. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Bring it to church with you. Bring virtue to church with you. Bring it to work with you. Bring it home with you. And watch the Lord work in your life. Focus on virtue. My next point is focus on the provider, not your problems. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is promised whenever we focus on the provider. This preaches to me. I can be a worrywart sometimes. We worry a little bit too much. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's talking about me here. Sometimes I worry. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye what ye have need of, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice he's telling them to focus. Take therefore no thought for your tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There is joy in focusing on the provider. And if you focus on the need more than the provider, it will cost you your joy. Most of us are lacking joy because we're not focusing on our provider. There's joy in focusing on godly things. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 again. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good, are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That is a promise out of the Word of God. Many people today, and I can tell whenever a Christian watches the news more than he reads his Bible. There are many Christians who have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years, and you can tell just by their conversations that they watch Fox News more than they read their Bible. They're focused on the news. There are many Christians today that focus on their feelings. But understand this, that the information that's been put out there, it can be a failure sometimes. Our feelings fail us. But the Word of God is unchanging. It has been proven time and time again. And we need to focus on the promises of the Word of God and not the problems of this world. You know, a lot of people today sit there and say, well, we're just going to hang in there by a thread until the rapture. We're just going to tough it out, and we're just going to struggle on through onto the rapture. But God said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Amen. Who's to say we can't have revival in America again? But yes, we must focus first. We must focus on godly things. We must focus. We need to focus on the reason for the season. You know, Christmas is coming up, and we need to focus. A lot of people commercialize it today. You hear commercial after commercial after commercial, and it's not about Jesus this time of year. And it's sad. Personally, me and my wife aren't going to do Santa Claus. We just ain't going to teach our kid about Santa Claus. We would rather teach our kids that Christmas is about Jesus, and we give because the Lord said it's better to give than to receive. That's what we're going to do with our children. What you do with your children and how you teach them is up to you, but that's what me and my wife, that's how we're going to handle Christmas each year. We would rather not distract our kids with Santa Claus and teach them to focus about Jesus. The promises in the Word of God stand firm. But there are many people today in churches that have lost their focus. My wife and I, we were visiting a church about a year or two ago. It was in our hometown. And there was a church that had a new interim pastor. They was kind of in between pastors, and they had an interim pastor there. And he was all about, he had this whiteboard out, and he was going to preach. And I thought, wow, he's going to teach us something here. He's got a little whiteboard up here. And so he's asking the church, what is our main job? And somebody said evangelism, to fulfill the Great Commission. And I liked that answer. And so he says, how are we going to do it? And of course, I'm a guest and I'm going to sit on my hands. I wanted to see what people say. And of course, it was crickets. Nobody knew what we're going to do about it. How are we going to fulfill the Great Commission? And so every fiber of my being is saying, love your neighbor and preach the gospel unto them. That's how we're going to evangelize. But I was going to be quiet just to see what somebody says. Well, of course, crickets. And so this preacher surprises me to death. And he says, so what is something that people are passionate about? And of course, this is in Alabama where football is a god. And this one woman says, college football. And of course, I about had whiplash because I could not believe she said that. And he says, right. So what we can do is have a whole church service dedicated to college football so we can get people in here. And I almost got up and walked out. I was upset, visibly. A lady approached me after the service and said, are you okay? I said, I will be. I was upset. And what really made things worse is he said, we want to be relevant and not boring, basically implying that the churches that are preaching the Bible and not having tailgate parties are irrelevant. Newsflash, this is the most relevant thing that we have today. Amen. Why would a preacher preach like that? Because he lost focus. He lost focus. He's worldly. How do you evangelize the world? You love them and give them the gospel. And there are too many churches today that have these loud entertainment ideas that are so distracting, like a football tailgate party, that anybody who comes to it, they're not going to get the message. And they did end up having that tailgate party, and he gave a miniature sermon, but I can guarantee you that distraction was so loud that nobody heard a word that he said. Yes, people came, but everybody left that church saying, "Hey, that preacher had a tailgate party." They didn't hear a word he said. Understand this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you get a lost person in a church. Most of the time he's not really going to hear the message. Most of the time. But what can he see? First off, you have to show them that you love them. Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Did he say entertain one another or love one another? Love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. So how do you win your neighbor? You love them, and you show them that God-given agape love that you have for them, and that love will soften his heart. And then you can give him the word. You can give him the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you get somebody in a church who's lost, and there's these loud, distracting entertainment ideas, and they're trying to entertain you. They're all about the entertainment. I was talking to a guy one time. This was about 2 or 3 months ago. I asked him what kind of church you go to. He said, "Well, I don't go to church much, but whenever I do, I like to go to them churches that have the light shows." Why? Because I like the light shows. I mean, the first red flag was he don't go to church much, but he didn't say a word about how the church gave him a closer walk with the Lord. He didn't say a word how the preaching of the Word gave him a better understanding of the Word. All he cared about was a light show, and it was free. And you go to a light show in town, you have to pay to get in, but if you go to a church that's having a light show, it's free. That's what a lot of people look at, and they're there for the light show, and they can't hear the Word because the things that's going on is so distracting. It's distracting. And unfortunately, that preacher that had that tailgate party, they eventually ran him off because he was heading that church into a wrong direction. They were realizing that the church was getting lukewarm. And eventually he got the boot, and he needed it. Whenever I heard he got run off, I said, "Praise God." So a lot of people ask preachers, you know, this is not an uncommon question. If any of you ever come to me and ask me, "Do you think that this church is lukewarm?" My question will be, or I'll answer your question with a question. I'll say, "Are you a lukewarm Christian?" Because a church, by definition, is a called out assembly. A called out assembly. That assembly is made up of individuals just like me and you. Is this a lukewarm church? Well, are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you focused on what you need to be focused on? Are you more devoted to your TV show than your Bible study? Are you on social media more than you have a private, intimate prayer life, if you have a private, intimate prayer life at all? Are you gossiping about your neighbor rather than witnessing to them and praying for them, each individual in this church has their own personal answer. But a church is made up of individuals just like you and just like me. I would love to see people come to this church and get saved. I would love to see backslidden prodigal sons and prodigal daughters come back to the loving arms of the Father. I would love to see revival break out into this church and see that revival spread on into this community. But before that can happen, revival must personally begin in my heart. And revival must personally begin in your heart as well. Because the church is made up of individuals like you and me. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Today, we are Solid Rock Bible Church. But if we lose focus, if we go apostate and go in the wrong direction tomorrow, this church will be the church of Laodicea. If we lose focus. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness of the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That means vomit. If you are lukewarm, you make God sick. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And a lot of people use this Bible verse to witness. A lot of people say, well, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. But if you read this in context, this is talking about saved people. This is talking about a saved church who lost focus and let entertainment in and let him out. And he is standing at the door of the church saying, I want back in your church. There's joy in focusing on godly things. But too many churches in America today have gone apostate because they've lost focus. They've gone worldly. Let me ask you a question. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you focused on the labor? Are you focused on virtue? Are you focused on your provider? Are you focused on godly things? Let us pray. Lord, I've given the message that you've given me. I pray that you may be glorified in this. Lord, I pray that everybody responds as you lead them. Lord, I just pray for this service, and I pray for everybody here. Bless everybody here in a special way. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. Maybe through the message, you realize that you've never been saved. You've never been born again. I invite you to come and get saved today. I usually sit in that bench during the invitation, and nothing would make me happier if you sat down beside me and said, Brother, I want to get saved today. I would be happy to give you the good news out of God's Word. Maybe you're in here today and you're saved. You know you're saved. But that fire that was in you is starting to cool down. You're starting to get lukewarm. I invite you to come and give it to God. Whatever is coming between you and Him, I invite you to give it to Him. Maybe the Lord's leading you to join this church. However the Lord leads you, I invite you to respond as He leads. You mind the Lord now.